This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
About to be a great night.
Feeling good tonight.
Yeah. This is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
Yes, everybody's favorite segment of Hancock and Kelly Late Night, when into the studio steps none other than Sean Michael Lyle, a man who learned his trade in the radio arts and the television arts in Hollywood, California. He's a former star of General Hospital. He's rubbed shoulders with celebrities, actors, actresses, sports figures for so many years, and now he's matriculated to the Midwest. And, buddy, you worked the entire holiday schedule here.
Yeah.
You worked like you were here Christmas.
Well, I did the Christmas and the New Year. And, I got Thursday and Friday off. But because my wife had to work, you know, she works remotely.
Yes.
And, you know, so we couldn't go anywhere. But other than that, it was fine.
You don't mind working the holidays?
No, I don't. I'm not a holiday guy.
Not a holiday guy.
No, we don't do anything for the holidays.
No tree?
No decoration. You'd come in on Christmas Day and you wouldn't know that it's any other day of the year.
Well, that's why you don't have to worry about taking all that stuff down.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. Yeah. So, we didn't
Did you celebrate Christmas when you were living out in Cali?
When I grew up, my mother overdid it.
Ah.
You know?
Yeah.
Boston Irish.
Yeah.
And, I always point out the Christmas-themed toilet paper. And,
oh, wow.
I mean, it was everything.
That's really doing
everything.
It.
Everything. And then my father, who was a, you know, World War II and Korean War sailor and all everything, uh-huh. You can imagine what an old, salty sailor is like untangling the Christmas lights of the days gone by. So
so there you are.
Yeah, it was a rather unholy thing, actually.
So you are an invaluable asset to St. Louis because beginning in... I think it's February,
yeah,
maybe March. Professional soccer is returning to St. Louis. After
I know.
A long
you know,
time.
it was a funny thing. I think I've mentioned this before, that the very first Major League Baseball game I ever saw mm-hmm. was Juan Marichal of the Giants pitching against Bob Gibson.
Oh, they always faced each other.
The Cardinals, yeah. And the very first professional soccer game I ever saw mm-hmm. was the St. Louis Stars.
Yes, in the 70s.
No.
In the 60s.
Yes.
Wow.
I saw them take on the Oakland Clippers in the Oakland Coliseum.
Who can forget the Clippers?
'67.
What a soccer club that was.
Well, they disappeared quickly, and a lot of them became the San Jose Earthquakes, which is my team and the team that I grew up with. But yeah, I was a Major League Soccer a reporter. I was a credentialed reporter for Major League Soccer. And I hobnobbed with all of those people, you know, David Beckham and Landon Donovan. Yeah, and all the soccer players.
Who's Landon Donovan?
Yeah, well, he was one of the best American World Cup players.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. He's a good guy, but. So on the Hollywood thing, because I always talk about Hollywood
stuff.
Well,
we have to talk about Hollywood.
Something that I wanted to point out is when I lived in Hollywood was the heyday of the filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
sitcoms.
There are so many of them. In fact, if I could go back in time, if I'd do anything differently, I would just go to more of those because I didn't get to that many. I got to some.
So what was the experience like? You'd have to get there early, I guess.
Oh, yeah. You get there and you wait outside like CBS Television City or the Metro Media Center, which is on Hollywood and Sunset by the freeway. And you would wait in line and then you'd go in and just sit there and they'd have some... the MC or something kind of warm up the audience, explain to you what's going on. Mm-hmm. The sets are all there.
Did they give you any hint as to what the...
No, they would not do
okay,
that.
What
no.
the script was.
No, so, they wouldn't talk about... They'd bring out the stars and you'd applaud so that it wasn't the first time you saw them. You would remember on things like Happy Days, for example. Whenever, even though he had been introduced to us, Fonzie, when he would come out, they would just give this huge cheer and he'd have to stop and just kind of stand there and would wait till the applause dies down before he continues.
Did you ever meet the Fonz?
No.
Oh.
No, but you know, seeing these people work was amazing. So there isn't as much of that as there used to be.
Right.
But if people want to go to Disneyland or they're going to Southern California for anything, there are so many shows that you can still see live in person. All these talent shows, America's Got Talent, all the talk shows. All of those shows, you can still go and see them in person.
So I was sitting in here the other day, and we've got televisions here in the studio, and somebody had on, because Michael and I are in the morning on Fridays, and they had The Price is Right was on.
Yes.
I haven't watched The Price is Right in, I don't know, a long time. There was hardly anybody in the studio audience. It was like just a smattering of people.
And what that means...
Paul Boschert over here. Uh-huh. You were retired for a year. Did you watch any Price is Right back in the day?
That's why I came out of retirement.
Yeah, it gets more... Well, what you see sometimes, and this is very typical, and that is if you look and they show the studio audience and there aren't a lot of people there, that's probably at the end of the day. And those people had seen like four or five Price is Rights already. And then they stand there and say, no, don't go, people. Come on, stay with us. Stay. You know, and then they sometimes say, we're going to give away prizes.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to, you know, have a drawing.
Do they let you eat in there? Can you eat?
No.
Oh.
No, they don't.
Well, it stinks.
Yeah. Well, that's so it doesn't stink. That's why they want to make sure. But yeah, I saw shows that never made it. I remember, who was the Family Feud guy?
Richard Dawson.
Right. Yeah. It was so funny. He had I forgot what the show was called. He had a game show where it was kind of a fun and games thing, and it was a pilot. And so he's standing there and he's holding this license plate that's really dirty and says, we went out to the parking lot and we found the dirtiest car out there and we're going to give them a brand new car. And then as we were leaving, we were talking to the people. My wife and I were talking to these people and said, so you excited about the car? And they said, well, you know, we don't get the car unless the pilot sells.
Oh.
So unless it was actually became a television show,
they
wouldn't get
it. And it didn't make it.
And it didn't make it.
They didn't get the car.
I assumed as much.
Well, that's terrible.
I hope they got their
license
plate back.
Richard Dawson made his fame in which show?
Hogan's Heroes.
Yes.
Well done, gentlemen. That's very good.
Yeah. Yeah, which was a funny show. It was hysterically funny, but it was a strange show. I saw something the other day that said, oh, boy, you know, having a Nazi concentration camp as a comedy. Who thought that was a good idea?
That wasn't a Norman Lear show, was it?
No, it was not. But the interesting thing about it was that Robert Clary, Murray, who passed away, I think, last year, he was in a concentration camp.
Oh, wow.
As a child.
He played LeBeau, right?
He was, Corporal LeBeau.
Corporal LeBeau.
And he was,
look at this.
And then you have, of course, Werner Klemperer,
right,
who immigrated from Germany. He escaped the Nazis in Germany. These were people who had every reason to hate the Nazis, and they were on the show because they, and Werner Klemperer was especially adamant about it. And
That's
that is
Colonel Klink, right?
Yeah, Colonel Klink. And that is, you have to make the Nazis always look stupid. You may not, you know, he says, I'll have no part of it unless they always look stupid and they always lose. And John Banner, who was, I think, from Austria, he was Sergeant Schultz.
Schultz.
Yeah, yeah. So he too faced that. But yeah, those were people who wanted to have, they thought the best revenge that they could get was to actually make fun of Nazis.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
Kind of like what you do with Mike Kelly on Fridays.
Well, when he's in town. Only when he's in town. Wow.
Yeah.
So, sitcom actors. You ever meet a sitcom actor?
Yeah, I remember some. I told you Joyce DeWitt from
Three's right.
Company.
You took her home.
No.
Oh.
We hung out together.
Mrs. Lyle isn't listening.
Well, yeah, and then again,
she's watching football.
No, yeah, and also right. Mackenzie Phillips.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, we had a hamburger together.
Yeah, you and Mackenzie Phillips. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, so
unbelievable.
There were sitcom. I mean, the place was crawling with sitcom actors.
So Joyce DeWitt, nice person.
Oh yeah, really nice.
Yeah,
yeah, beautiful legs.
What's she? Yeah, well, there you go.
She had come out to California because she was a dancer, and I don't know if I insulted her, but I mean. We got along, but I said, well, that's kind of funny that you would come out from New York to Los Angeles to be a dancer when all the dance jobs at the time were in New York.
Yeah, excellent point.
She said, yeah, but I couldn't get in any doors in New York, but I can get indoors here because everything's street level. And so that, which is one of the odd things of the difference between New York and Hollywood, is that in Hollywood, the office of the person who is the head of the company is at street level. And in New York, you can't get up that high in those buildings without going by the security people.
Folks, I don't know about you, but I look forward to this segment every time we get together. We're fortunate. And I guess we probably will have a run of Monday nights here now that the NFL regular season is over. So hopefully, Shawn Michael, we'll see you down the road.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for bringing us the news. Paul Boschert in for Michael Kelly. I'm John Hancock. Our Sports Insider is next here on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Time now to select the Wendy's player of the game.
It's Baker Mayfield.
A miracle comeback orchestrated by Baker Mayfield.
Heck of a game by Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield walks into this place and orchestrates just an incredible comfort behind win.
They bring Baker in off the bench and he rallies them back and the place went crazy. Baker Mayfield found a way to win.
So Baker Mayfield, our player of the game.
And I'll tell you about Baker Mayfield. The one thing he is, he's a competitor. And that dude fought, got it done, and kept on hanging in there, and it was exciting. Congratulations, Baker.
But somehow Baker, the ultimate gamer, figures a way to win it at the end.
Baker Mayfield will remember this the rest of his life.
Well, welcome back to Hancock and Kelly. Paul Bossert.
I have a question. Where was the interception in overtime that sent the Seahawks to the playoffs?
You got a beef with Matt Pajeski over there. He put that whole package together just for you. It's our sport.
Matt, I appreciate it, but where was the interception yesterday?
I had to be specific. I had to cater that whole audio clip just to get you riled up.
It worked. Mission accomplished.
John Hancock joins us, our sports insider from Chicago, Illinois. He's a noted critic of Baker Mayfield. Baker, has he played his last game with the L.A. Rams?
Well, certainly as a starter, barring something unforeseen with Matt Stafford, maybe he comes back as a backup. But look, that's enough with Baker. The reason I'm here last year in the playoffs, the reason I became the H&K NFL insider is because I had such a clear view of the playoffs. Call me Socrates. Call me Confucius. Call me Voltaire. I called the Bengals when nobody else saw them coming. Yeah. And I'm here today to tell you what's going to unfold this year.
They're not
going to
get past the Bills, man. The Bills are a team of destiny at this point.
Well, they feel like it, but if you take away the two kickoff returns they had against the Patriots, they didn't look that great. They've kind of been stumbling the second half of this year. Josh Allen, he's hot, and Josh Allen, he's cold. I don't know what to expect of the Bills. Certainly, they got the team rallying around DeMar Hamlin, but nothing would shock me in the AFC.
So you think Burrow and the Bengals are going to go to the bowl?
It's tough to go against Joey B. The one concern is the Bengals. They got Collins, their right tackle, and then their right guard got banged up in Week 18. They've been able to make it to the Super Bowl with a weak offensive line before, but that's going to be a hurdle. I don't have too much confidence in any of the top three in the AFC right now.
You know, John, this is Paul. I was looking at the schedule for this weekend, and I noticed the Seahawks and the 49ers, two teams that we just despise when the Rams were here, are going against each other this weekend. And what are your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, so the 49ers, I think they're going to be tough to beat. They opened as a 10-point favorite against the Seahawks, and I think the Seahawks are just happy to be here. Pete Carroll did a great job coaching that team. Geno Smith looked very capable throughout the season. But I think the 49ers are going to roll pretty easily ever since they added McCaffrey. The offense has, you know, been firing on all cylinders, and they've won some playoff games these past few years with average quarterback play. So Brock Purdy just has to be decent at best, and they can definitely make some noise in a weak NFC.
And a lot of weapons on that offense, no question about that. The Dallas Cowboys, kind of a puzzle. What do you make of their chances?
Yeah, so the Cowboys, they're a great team. I think any given Sunday, you know, they can beat any team that's in the playoffs. But they've been inconsistent. Dak Prescott tied for the lead in interceptions this season. I do not see how the Cowboys can win three road games to make it out of the NFC.
And another team that has surprised a lot of people this year is Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. And they had quite a run. What do you expect out of them? A lot of talk about Cousins not being able to come up in the big game. We're going to all find out soon enough. But do you think they're a real threat to maybe take it all the way?
Yeah, so they call him 1 o'clock Kirk because when he's on a 1 o'clock kickoff game for Minnesota, he seems to be a great quarterback. But you put him in afternoon or you put him in prime time, he doesn't get the job done. The Vikings are an odd team, 11-0 in one-score games this season, which is unheard of. It's tough to take them seriously, but, you know, they demonstrated that they can get it done in crunch time when it matters. their defense has been given up more yards than any other team in the playoffs, but they've been able to get key turnovers late in games. And if they can keep that up, who knows what they can do, but I don't see the Vikings going very far.
And John, they play that 3:30 afternoon game, like you just said, but I believe the Vikings might be the longest running franchise without a championship. Is that correct? Do you remember that or not?
Yeah, no, I think that is correct. Yeah. And unfortunately for our friends in Minnesota, I think they'll stay waiting.
Yeah. I guess the other game we've got to take a look at, Giant, are the Dolphins, what do you think with Tua? Is he going to come back and play or not?
Yeah, so it's kind of up in the air at this point. I personally think he will. I think the Dolphins are going to be sensitive because he's been in and out of concussion protocol. They took a lot of heat early in the season when he went down, came back in, and got knocked out again. I think if he plays, they have a real shot. And even their backup, Teddy Bridgewater, isn't guaranteed to play. So they may be rolling with Skylar Thompson, the third string, and it's tough to see them doing anything with Skylar Thompson against Buffalo.
Well, they may end up in the Baker Mayfield sweepstakes at the end of the year. You just never know what's going to happen. Who's got the best defense in the game?
The best defense, you know, the Ravens have been finding a way to win without Lamar Jackson. They've been incredibly tough on defense. That's the only way they're going to be able to beat the Bengals and win anything in this playoffs is on the strength of that defense, especially if Lamar is not going to come back. And then the 49ers, obviously, best defense in the league in the NFC. And honestly, the best roster, 53-man roster, only weak spot, really, a quarterback.
John, the only game we haven't talked about was the Chargers and Jaguars. I mean, they got two young quarterbacks, Justin Herbert, and you've got Trevor Lawrence in that game.
Yeah, that's going to be an exciting game. Now, we've been waiting for these guys to make the playoffs a couple of years for Herbert. This is the second year for Lawrence. That's going to be a fun game. The Jaguars didn't look great against the Titans, but they had a phenomenal second half to win the division. And the Chargers are an exciting team. The offense is getting healthy. Keenan Allen's back. That's going to be a fun game. And I think whoever wins that game is going to give Kansas City some trouble in the second round.
All right. We haven't talked at all about the Cardinals offseason, and I know you pay close attention to what they're doing. The signing of Wilson Contreras, I think, has been very well received here in St. Louis. But how do you size up this Cardinal ball club going into spring training here in a couple of months?
Yeah, I definitely think we need to either bank on Jack Flaherty getting healthy and performing at the peak that we've seen him, which that does not seem like a guarantee. I really think we need a top-of-the-line arm to really bolster our rotation to compete with the Dodgers, the Mets, the Braves, pretty much every team outside of our division.
How about the outfield, John?
Yeah, the outfield, Brian Reynolds with Pittsburgh. I know there's been some whispers about trading for him. We'd probably have to trade Dylan Carlson to be able to get him. And, you know, I don't know if there's an appetite for that. Carlson came up with a lot of potential. He's been serviceable, you know, his short tenure with the Cardinals. But the outfield, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, got some questions there, and we need some guys to step up.
A lot of bodies out there, too. I mean, you've got Yepez out there. Certainly Brendan Donovan can play a serviceable outfield for the Cardinals. Yeah. And so they've got some options. I guess you're going to bank on Carlson in center field every day. Newt Barr looks like will be your everyday right fielder. Tyler O'Neill, big question mark, John, coming into this season.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen what he can do. You know, he had that stretch a couple years ago to end the year where he was just on fire. He was
got MVP votes.
Yeah, very capable bat to pair with Goldschmidt and Arenado. A lot of questions with him. And then I saw there were some rumors that we're in talks for a trade that for a player that's under the radar that Mo's trying to keep under wraps. So I'm very interested to see if that pans out.
Well, we'll all keep an eye on that. Paul Boscher joins me. That's John Hancock, our sports insider. How are things in Chicago? Good?
Things are good in Chicago. The folks here are pumped that the Bears have the number one pick in the draft.
Indeed, they
do. We can thank Lovie Smith for that one.
yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Very well earned. Well, he coached the Bears at one time.
He coached the Bears, yeah. And he didn't. I think he ended up winning yesterday and got his walking papers here on Black
Monday. That's a shame. He's a really good guy.
He really is.
Really good guy. All right, John, thank you so much for your insights. Fun as always. Have a good rest of your week.
See you, John.
Thank you. You too.
All right, when we come back, the sports guy and I are going to talk a little Cardinal baseball and what is needed and what we think is going to happen. Paul Boschert knows a lot of baseball, and he's next on KMOX.
Your home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
We are your home of the Cardinals. John Hancock, it's Hancock and Kelly. Paul Boschert alongside Michael Kelly's brother-in-law. And he's also a 42-year coach over in St. Charles County, a variety of school districts. He's currently the athletic director of Duchesne High School. And, Paul, I know you are a passionate St. Louis Cardinal fan.
I certainly am. Born and raised a Cardinal, and I really do enjoy him. Every summer we get to multiple games. We get down to spring training and enjoy that. That is the most fun I think I've ever had with the Cardinals. People always ask you, would you rather go to spring training or would you rather go see it at Busch Stadium? I love the Busch Stadium stuff, but you get so close to the action.
You're right there.
You're there.
Yeah.
And you can't beat it, and great seats. And what I like about it as a coach, we get to walk to the backfield.
Yeah.
You get to watch them working on drills and things like that. And it's intimate. They talk to you as they're going from field to field, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, folks, if you haven't been to a St. Louis Cardinals spring training, it really ought to be on your bucket list. If you're even a moderately hopped-up baseball fan, it's just a great experience. Well, we've got this ball club. It sports last year's most valuable player in the National League, Paul Goldschmidt. A lot of big, good pieces on this team. But you got a sense that maybe we're not quite there yet.
Well, when you lose two guys in Yachty and you lose Albert, that's two people that you've got to replace going into this season. I think we've done that with the catching position.
Yep.
I think we're going to have an offensive catcher. I'm not sure he's the catcher that Yachty is, but nobody is. And we'll have to see how that plays out as we go forward. But somebody else is going to have to step up, I think, and pick up the offense.
Well, look, Albert's production in the second half last year was epic. I mean, it was vintage Albert Pujols. They never saw that in Anaheim. What he did in the second half of that season, they never saw in those 10 years in Anaheim. And while you may have thought when we originally signed him that it was going to be kind of a nostalgic, you know, trip down memory lane, he ended up, I don't think the Cardinals win that division without Albert Pujols. And that production has not been replaced.
No, and I'm a traditionalist. I didn't want the DH in the National League. I like the decisions.
You know, me too.
As a coach, you know, baseball coach, a lot of decisions you have to make.
Yeah.
And I always enjoyed that part of baseball that was taken away. But when they said that if we put the DH in and Albert's going to come back, I said, then it kind of sold me and what he did the second half of the year. But we haven't replaced that yet.
No, the production. Now, potentially, Tyler O'Neill could replace that.
He's got to stay healthy, John.
Right.
That's what you always worry about.
And he hasn't done it yet. Are you worried about Dylan Carlson? There's some speculation that he was dealing with a nagging injury issue last year and that we've not yet seen the best of Dylan Carlson. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, all the hype that you've heard with him, and he was, you know, you always hear the rumors that he was the reason why we didn't get our big deal last year with Soto. It's time for Dylan to step up. He's got to step up this year and make that next step in his career to help the Cardinals this year. He's got to help pick up some offense.
Think there's still a deal out there?
You know, you keep hearing rumors that Moe's got one in him. You just don't know where it's going to come from. But I kind of hope that they do, because I really think they need to go one missing piece.
And for you, the missing piece would be a bat as opposed to an arm, a pitcher.
Yeah, I think our young kids are going to be good. I don't know if they're ready yet, but I do like the arm too. I think Michael will tell you that he wants that arm. I just like the bat. I mean, that's the other thing. I just think we need another bat in the lineup. But if we can get both of them, I'm fine with that too.
So they say you can never have enough starting pitching, and you're looking at a rotation right now. You've got Flaherty and Michaelis. Michaelis had a very good year
last year. He sure did.
Steven Matz is coming back healthy. Which will be a good thing. And we got Jordan Montgomery, who was very impressive out of the gate and then struggled a bit down the end. And then Adam Wainwright. But you've also, you still got, what's his name? The guy we sent down to the minor leagues at the end of last season. Dakota Hudson.
There you go.
Who, you know, when he was pitching well before he had the surgery, he was a quite effective pitcher. He works slow, and that's going to be a challenge for him now with you've got the pitch clock. But the Cardinals will have some depth in the starting rotation, and the bullpen, for the most part, I think looks pretty set. I do think we could use one more bullpen arm.
I do too.
A late inning guy.
And don't forget, Mike Maddox is gone.
Right.
And you just wonder how that transition to the new pitching coach is going to play out this year as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And the claw, and he's signed. He went, where did Maddox go?
PJ. Down to Texas Rangers.
Texas Rangers. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he went back to the Rangers. I think he lives down in that area, I believe.
Yeah. That would explain a lot. Because I thought he was a very good, effective pitching coach on this team, and especially with a lot of the younger arms in the bullpen. But you look at the pitch clock, and it's going to affect Dakota Hudson. It's going to affect Giovanni Gallegos, who really takes his time between the pitches. How do you feel about the pitch clock?
Well, it's not going to get some of these fireballers that we're seeing in baseball right now throwing 100-plus. They've got to have some time in between pitches to get that strength back to throw up.
Yeah, talk about that, because something I'd heard that discussed too. I never dawned on me that was a thing, because I don't pitch.
Yeah.
But you do, it's like lifting weights. You can't just keep going and going and going.
You got to take a break. You got to take, and you do your reps, and then you walk away from it, and you come back and do it again. And that's kind of what baseball players say. The pitchers they throw, they want to take a break. They go back, grab the rosin bag, toss that around a little bit, get back on the mound and pitch. But now with that clock, they're not going to have that time to regain that strength.
And so you think we'll see it in the lost velocity?
I think you will see that. Yes.
And
we'll have to wait and see.
Maybe increased offense and more late inning heroics. Yes. And then maybe that's what baseball ultimately is looking for. I mean, they want to speed up the game. Mm-hmm. But maybe they're looking for some more offensive production, and that's what might be behind that rule change.
It could be, yeah.
Now, how about the larger bases? I haven't heard a lot of talk about that. Is that going to be a factor at all?
Not that I know. It may be more of a safety factor, maybe. That's the only thing I can think of. But
some speculation. If they're slightly larger, may encourage more of the running game, because now all of a sudden there's a little bit less room between first and second base. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
The bigger rule change is going to be getting rid of the shift.
Matt Carpenter would probably be a Hall of Famer if it wasn't for that shift. But, yeah, I agree with you. I'm a purist, too, and I don't like the shift. I just, that's kind of you're brought up that way. But, as a coach, you're supposed to be able to counter that stuff. And I got so frustrated when they put the shift on and we couldn't lay down a bunt or we couldn't take the ball the other way, because that's what we teach the young kids about, how to take the ball where it's pitched.
Bunting's really become a lost art in this game. And I think most teams start off their batting practice where you lay down a bunt and then you swing for the fences. Mm-hmm. But you don't see, I think about the Rod Carews, even Pete Rose. There were guys, 300 hitters, and they'd get some large chunk of their base hits every year with the bunt, and you just don't see it.
It's not in the contract anymore. How many bunts you lay down, it's how many home runs you can hit. And that's kind of the way the game has evolved over the last few years.
Yeah, and I don't like it as much.
I don't either. It's funny. I miss Whitey ball. I mean, I just, it's funny to say, but
do
I
you
just
think there's a place in baseball? Now, we've all gone away. I don't think there's another artificial turf. Maybe there's one, maybe down in Tampa. But, nobody's got artificial turf anymore. Do you think we'll ever see that kind of run and hit gap type style of play again?
I'd love to see it. I really would. I enjoyed that aspect back in the 80s when they played that way. And I understand the game evolves over the years, but I do think that's something that I'd like to see somebody try it and see. And I'd be a big fan of it.
Yeah. Are you optimistic for Jack Flaherty coming into the season? He's been hurt for the last 2 years. And what we saw, that glimpse we saw in 2019, was special.
You were hoping he was going to be the heir apparent to Waino. And that's kind of what you're hoping, that maybe this year with Waino sticking around, maybe those two guys can gel together and maybe they can create that. I'm hoping it's going to be a great year for him, though.
Do you remember the near no-hitter that Michaelis threw last year? And he lost it in the ninth inning. Ball was hit over Harrison Bader's head. And Bader,
yes,
had he been playing deeper, that's a no-hitter. Have you ever seen a no-hitter live?
I have not.
Yeah,
I haven't either. You?
No. My wife has.
Oh, she has?
She saw Bob Forsh's first no-hitter.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's one of two.
1978.
Right.
Bob Forsh, by the way, the late Bob Forsh, very tragic passing, he and his brother Ken remain the only brothers in the history of Major League Baseball to both throw a no-hitter. Just remarkable. And Ken didn't have that long of a career, but he did throw a no-hitter, and Bob Forsh threw two.
Yeah.
He was a great pitcher. Who's your favorite player growing up?
Growing up, I had to be Lou Brock. That was my favorite.
Oh, there's a guy that was very involved at Lindenwood.
Yes.
And in St. Charles County, very philanthropic. And it's a great loss to this community when we lost Lou. Did you ever get to spend much time with him?
Yeah, it's funny. I did when I was a young kid, about 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My mother took me down to, well, they had the old camera day where we were out.
Oh, yeah, on the field.
They'd rope it up around the outfield, and Lou came around, and my mom asked to get a picture, and Lou put his arm around me, took a picture of me as an eight-year-old kid.
Wow.
And then I guess it was probably about 25 years later, I took that picture. He was signing autographs, and we got to have a little conversation. He signed it, and I still have that picture. So he was my idol growing up.
Yeah, I love Lou Brock, too, but Bob Gibson, for me, was...
He wasn't much of a competitor, though, right?
Right, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes, and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Your home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
We are your home of the Cardinals. John Hancock, it's Hancock and Kelly. Paul Boschert alongside Michael Kelly's brother-in-law. And he's also a 42-year coach over in St. Charles County, a variety of school districts. He's currently the athletic director of Duchesne High School. And, Paul, I know you are a passionate St. Louis Cardinal fan.
I certainly am. Born and raised a Cardinal, and I really do enjoy him. Every summer we get to multiple games. We get down to spring training and enjoy that. That is the most fun I think I've ever had with the Cardinals. People always ask you, would you rather go to spring training or would you rather go see it at Busch Stadium? I love the Busch Stadium stuff, but you get so close to the action.
You're right there.
You're there.
Yeah.
And you can't beat it, and great seats. And what I like about it as a coach, we get to walk to the backfield.
Yeah.
You get to watch them working on drills and things like that. And it's intimate. They talk to you as they're going from field to field, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, folks, if you haven't been to a St. Louis Cardinals spring training, it really ought to be on your bucket list. If you're even a moderately hopped-up baseball fan, it's just a great, great experience. Well, we've got this ball club. It's sports last year's most valuable player in the National League, Paul Goldschmidt. A lot of big, good pieces on this team. But you got a sense that maybe we're not quite there yet.
Well, when you lose two guys in Yachty and you lose Albert, that's two people that you've got to replace going into this season. I think we've done that with the catching position.
Yep.
I think we're going to have an offensive catcher. I'm not sure he's the catcher that Yachty is, but nobody is. And we'll have to see how that plays out as we go forward. But somebody else is going to have to step up, I think, and pick up the offense.
Well, look, Albert's production in the second half last year was epic. I mean, it was vintage Albert Pujols. They never saw that in Anaheim. What he did in the second half of that season, they never saw in those 10 years in Anaheim. And while you may have thought when we originally signed him that it was going to be kind of a nostalgic, you know, trip down memory lane, he ended up, I don't think the Cardinals win that division without Albert Pujols. And that production has not been replaced.
No. And I'm a traditionalist. I didn't want the DH in the National League. I like the decisions.
You know, Me too.
As a coach, you know, baseball coach, a lot of decisions you have to make.
Yeah.
And I always enjoyed that part of baseball that was taken away. But when they said that if we put the DH in and Albert's going to come back, then it kind of sold me and what he did the second half of the year. But we haven't replaced that yet.
No, the production. Now, potentially, Tyler O'Neill could replace that.
He's got to stay healthy, John.
Right.
That's what you always worry
about.
And
he hasn't done it yet. Are you worried about Dylan Carlson? There's some speculation that he was dealing with a nagging injury issue last year and that we've not yet seen the best of Dylan Carlson. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, all the hype that you've heard with him, and he was, you know, you always hear the rumors that he was the reason why we didn't get our big deal last year with Soto. It's time for Dylan to step up. He's got to step up this year and make that next step in his career to help the Cardinals this year. He's got to help pick up some offense.
Think there's still a deal out there?
You know, you keep hearing rumors that Mo's got one in him. You just don't know where it's going to come from. But I kind of hope that they do because I really think they need to go one missing piece.
And for you, the missing piece would be a bat as opposed to an arm, a pitcher.
Yeah, I think our young kids are going to be good. I don't know if they're ready yet, but I do like the arm too. I think Michael will tell you that he wants that arm. I just like the bat. I mean, that's the other thing. I just think we need another bat in the lineup. But if we can get both of them, I'm fine with that too.
So they say you can never have enough starting pitching, and you're looking at a rotation right now. You've got Flaherty and Michaelis. Michaelis had a very good year last year.
He sure did.
Steven Matz is coming back healthy. Which will be a good thing. And we got Jordan Montgomery, who was very impressive out of the gate and then struggled a bit down the end. And then Adam Wainwright. But you've also, you still got, what's his name? The guy we sent down to the minor leagues at the end of last season. Dakota Hudson.
There you go.
Who, you know, when he was pitching well before he had the surgery, he was a quite effective pitcher. He works slow, and that's going to be a challenge for him now with you've got the pitch clock. But the Cardinals will have some depth in the starting rotation, and the bullpen, for the most part, I think looks pretty set. I do think we could use one more bullpen arm.
I do, too.
A late-inning guy.
And don't forget, Mike Maddox is gone.
Right.
And you just wonder how that transition to the new pitching coach is going to play out this year as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And the claw, and he's signed. He went, where did Maddox go?
Down to Texas Rangers.
Texas Rangers. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he went back to the Rangers. I think he lives down in that area, I believe.
Yeah. That would explain a lot. Because I thought he was a very good, effective pitching coach on this team, and especially with a lot of the younger arms in the bullpen. But you look at the pitch clock, and it's going to affect Dakota Hudson. It's going to affect Giovanni Gallegos, who really takes his time between the pitches. How do you feel about the pitch clock?
Well, it's not going to give some of these fireballers that we're seeing in baseball right now, throwing 100-plus, they've got to have some time in between pitches to get that strength back to throw up that.
Yeah, talk about that, because that's something I'd heard that discussed, too. I never dawned on me that was a thing, because I don't pitch.
Yeah.
But you do, it's like lifting weights. You can't just keep going and going and going.
You got to take a break. You know, you got to take and you do your reps, and then you walk away from it, and you come back and do it again. And that's kind of what baseball players say. You know, the pitchers they throw, they want to take a break. They go back, grab the rosin bag, you know, toss that around a little bit, get back on the mound and pitch. But now with that clock, they're not going to have that time to regain that strength.
And so you think we'll see it in the lost velocity?
I think you will see that. Yes.
And
we'll have to wait and see.
Maybe increased offense and more late inning heroics, and then maybe that's what baseball ultimately is looking for. I mean, they want to speed up the game, but maybe they're looking for some more offensive production, and that's what might be behind that rule change.
It could be, yeah.
Now, how about the larger bases? Not, I haven't heard a lot of talk about that. Is that going to be a factor at all?
Not that I know. It may be more of a safety factor, maybe. That's the only thing I can think of. But
some speculation, if they're slightly larger, may encourage more of the running game. Because now all of a sudden there's a little bit less room between first and second base. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
The bigger rule change is going to be getting rid of the shift.
Matt Carpenter would probably be a Hall of Famer if it wasn't for that shift. But, yeah, I agree with you. I'm a purist, too, and I don't like the shift. I just, that's kind of you're brought up that way. But, you know, as a coach, you're supposed to be able to counter that stuff. And I got so frustrated when they put the shift on and we couldn't lay down a bunt or we couldn't take the ball the other way, because that's what we teach the young kids about how to take the ball where it's pitched.
Bunting's really become a lost art in this game. And, you know, I think most teams start off their batting practice where you lay down a bunt and then you swing for the fences. Mm-hmm. But you don't see, I think about the Rod Carews, even Pete Rose. You know, there were guys, 300 hitters, and they'd get some large chunk of their base hits every year with the bunt, and you just don't see it.
It's not in the contract anymore how many bunts you lay down. It's how many home runs you can hit, and that's kind of the way the game has evolved over the last few years.
Yeah, and I don't like it as much.
I don't either. It's funny. I miss Whitey ball. I mean, it's funny to say, but
do you think there's a place in baseball? Now, we've all gone away. I don't think there's another artificial turf. Maybe there's one, maybe down in Tampa. But, nobody's got artificial turf anymore. Do you think we'll ever see that kind of run and hit gap type style of play again?
I'd love to see it. I really would. I enjoyed that aspect back in the 80s when they played that way. And I understand the game evolves over the years, but I do think that's something that I'd like to see somebody try it and see. And I'd be a big fan of it.
Yeah. Are you optimistic for Jack Flaherty coming into the season? You know, he's been hurt for the last 2 years. And what we saw, that glimpse we saw in 2019, was special.
You were hoping he was going to be the heir apparent to Waino, and that's kind of what you're hoping, that maybe this year with Waino sticking around, maybe those two guys can gel together and maybe they can create that. I'm hoping it's going to be a great year for him, though.
Do you remember the near no-hitter that Michaelis threw last year, and he lost it in the ninth inning? Ball was hit over Harrison Bader's head, and Bader,
yes,
had he been playing deeper, that's a no-hitter. Have you ever seen a no-hitter live?
I have not.
Yeah,
I haven't either. You?
No. My wife has.
Oh, she has?
She saw Bob Forsh's first no-hitter.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. One of two.
1978.
Right.
Bob Forsh, by the way, the late Bob Forsh, very tragic passing, he and his brother Ken remain the only brothers in the history of Major League Baseball to both throw a no-hitter. Just remarkable. And Ken didn't have that long of a career, but he did throw a no-hitter, and Bob Forsh threw two.
Yeah.
He was a great pitcher. Who's your favorite player growing up?
Growing up, I had to be Lou Brock. That was my favorite.
Oh, there's a guy that was very involved at Lindenwood.
Yes.
And in St. Charles County, very philanthropic. And it's a great loss to this community when we lost Lou. Did you ever get to spend much time with him?
Yeah, it's funny. I did when I was a young kid, about 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My mother took me down to, they had the old camera day where we were out.
Oh, yeah, on the field.
On the field. They'd rope it up around the outfield.
Uh-huh.
And Lou came around, and my mom asked to get a picture, and Lou put his arm around me, took a picture of me as an 8-year-old kid.
Wow.
And then I guess it was probably about 25 years later, I took that picture. He was signing autographs, and we got to have a little conversation. He signed it, and I still have that picture. So he was my idol growing up.
Yeah, I love Lou Brock too, but Bob Gibson for me was...
He wasn't much of a competitor though, right?
Right, yeah. But I mean, it was so intense. And even, outside... Now, he has had a great sense of humor. A lot of people didn't know. Bob Gibson was a funny, funny guy.
Played with the Globetrotters.
Remember? Sure did.
We always joked about, too, with Bob Gibson. Could you imagine Mike Maddox coming out to talk to Bob and giving him the claw?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. No, you weren't going to lay a hand on Rapid Robert. Well, there you go. Paul Boschert is our guest host today on Hancock and Kelly, as Michael Kelly is out of town. Our last final segment, we're going to visit about the fact that both of us have now entered grandparenthood. Paul, you got me by a few years, but we'll find out what's going on there. We'll talk a little bit about Michael Kelly and our daughters. We're sorority sisters together at Lindenwood. That's coming your way to wrap things up on Hancock and Kelly on KMOX.
So
always a pleasure to spend these couple of hours with you each Monday night when there's nothing else on the radio. And that's when you find Hancock and Kelly. Well, you'll usually find Hancock. About every 50% of the time, you'll find Kelly as well. Michael Kelly is out of town. Shock. Very, very happy to be joined by Paul Boschert, Michael's brother-in-law. Paul, you've done a great job, and you got your start in radio at KCOU in Lindenwood.
Yes, I did that. Enjoyed my my time there, and it got to the point after 4 years. I did a double major education, and I did radio. Bob Ramsey, the voice of the Billikens, was my mentor, and worked with him. He was a senior when I was a freshman, and then when it got to the end, I had to make a decision, and I chose the education route. And I was going to just stay with it for a year or two, maybe, and then maybe get into broadcasting. Yeah. And here it is 42 years later, and I'm finally getting my first shot at this broadcast.
Isn't that kind of fun? It is fun. Neat how life goes around like that, because I got fired from the college station at Mizzou, and I wanted to be in broadcasting, and they fired me, so I figured, okay, I'll move. I'll go into politics. There you can only be fired by the voters, and then the voters fired me. But, you know, what are you going to do? We joke about Michael being out of town. And he's out of town, and he's, you know, he's a single guy. He's able to get around, and I don't begrudge him that at all. Michael is one of the finest people I know. You've known him longer than I have. But the guy's got a heart of gold.
He does. And, you know, I think your listeners probably don't get to hear from the family side. I know Michael takes a lot of ribbing, and he's great at what he does with you on the radio. You guys, I just enjoy watching you guys on Sunday mornings, listening to you guys. This is what our country needs, John. We need people like you guys. Two different views, political views, but you guys are buddies, and that's what we need.
You and Colleen have been married how long?
Be 37 years.
And you obviously dated some before that. So you've known Michael Kelly for...
About 40 years. I remember when he was a little boy.
What kind of kid was he?
Well, you know, Michael was very active and very energetic, and you know, the times that I was around the house, if Michael got in any kind of trouble, they used to have a thing where they tell Michael to go outside and do laps around the house.
Run around the house.
And he had to ring the doorbell, you know, and they would say, okay, Michael, go run and hit the doorbell 10 times. And we'd be sitting there watching TV, and then, you know, about every 30 seconds we'd see him run around the back. Finally, he wised up a couple months, a year after this happened. He just stood at the front door and just hit it 10 times and came back in. So that's the Michael I remember. I also, I used to coach him in basketball when he played.
Oh, is that right?
Michael played basketball.
He's tall enough.
He is, yeah. He played for us and at St. Charles Borromeo, where we were at church there. But my favorite story with Michael probably is when Colleen and I got married, Friday night, date night, we'd go out to dinner. And then we'd haul the laundry over to the Kelly house.
Uh-huh.
That's what we did. We took it over, and I have to admit, Colleen did all the laundry, but I was in charge of Michael. And so Michael and I would play games, and you know, they still rib me over this all the time, the family, but played Monopoly with Michael.
Yeah.
Trying to teach him the game, and you know, you get to that point where you got to start trading properties. And so I gave Michael a shot to trade. And, you know, I had one of the Boardwalk, and he had Park Place, you know, and he had Baltic, and I had Mediterranean Place. And Michael liked the color of Mediterranean and Baltic and said, hey, I'll give you this Park Place here for that thing. And, you know, I probably should have stopped, but I said, okay, we're
just going to play. Oh, you're in it to win it, buddy.
You're in it to win it. So he gives me Boardwalk and Park Place, and I give him the two cheapest properties on there, and I never lived it down. But, John, as I really think about this in my life, okay, there's an analogy there that 40 years later, amongst his family, his friends, and his charity, Michael continues to give everybody Boardwalk and Park Place.
He does. He's one of the most generous people I've ever known in my life.
Absolutely.
And he's remarkable to see that. And that's interesting. So, and it all started off on the Monopoly board. All right, I need some help, Paul.
Okay.
So I am now, as of 8 months ago, a grandfather for the first
Congratulations.
Time. And you've got how many, four of them?
I've got four of them now.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so how does this work? I can't get enough of her. I mean, I just can't wait to see her, and, you know.
Yes, it's, I call it a double blessing. It's a blessing when they come, and it's a blessing when they go.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome that you get these kids. And we had three of my granddaughters today, Colleen and I did, and Barb even came over and helped out today. But there's nothing better than having grandkids, and you know, Colleen and I always joke that before we were grandparents, you know, people always come, oh, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We think we will.
Sure.
But as soon as you get into it.
It is amazing.
You understand what they say.
Yeah. And so, you know, she's not talking yet. Well, we've got a mama. She has produced a mama, we think. And she's eating solid food. She smiles when she sees her pawpaw, which makes, that melts your heart.
Oh, well, yes.
When they see you and they smile great big, I mean, man.
Did our kids do that?
There's nothing like it. No, my kids never. they don't smile at me today. But, I mean, it really is just remarkable. And I guess you do little special activities with them, take them out to stuff?
Yes. We basically, they come over once a week or twice a week, and,
nice.
And Colleen's with them, and she'll run them over to Grandma's house, Nana's house, which is Barb, and they'll be together, and we'll do different things. I have to say that we have the youngest one is 3 months old, and she was a baby that my son-in-law and my daughter would have to stay up for like 3 months. They had to stay up through the night.
You know? Oh, wow.
And they did shifts. So my son-in-law took like 11 to 2, and my daughter would take 2 to 5.
How many other kids do they have?
They just have the one.
Oh, okay. The first is usually very, very easy. That's God's way of making you have another kid.
Right. But she's something else. And so anyway, one of the gifts we gave to my daughter and her husband was tickets to the Blues game. In exchange, we got to keep the baby overnight.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then my daughter's like, Mom, Dad, you know, just going to prepare you. You're going to have to split shift it tonight, you know, with her because she will be up all night. So they go to the hockey game. My wife puts the baby down at about 8:45.
Yeah.
Baby sleeps till like 4 o'clock.
Nice.
It's awesome. Gets her up, rocks her, puts her back. She gets up at 5:37. And then we have a dilemma now. So when my daughter calls, do we tell her that she was up all night or do we say,
no, you gotta come clean.
We were clean. She slept through the night, and we, you know, and Colleen's great with the kids. Explain how we did it, and they did it the next night, and the baby slept
for
most of the night. So it worked. Yeah.
Well, there is still a trick or two in these old dogs out there, and our daughters were in the Delta Zeta sorority together at Lindenwood College. That's how, and I didn't put it together right away that you were Michael's brother-in-law, but Mary Catherine told me. Megan is Michael's niece. So
right.
I said, wow.
She did the same thing to me. Megan came, well, Dad, you know John Hancock, right? Yeah. He goes, his daughter's my sorority sister.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a neat thing that they did at Lindenwood together.
And Megan is doing what now?
Well, she is now and I talk about this all the time, the family business, but she's a counselor. She's in the Wentzville School District. She's out there as a counselor. And this is her first year. She got her master's at Lindenwood, and she is doing well out there. You know, like I said, the other kids are doing great, too.
What level is she
counseling? She's in middle school.
Oh, that's tough, man.
Yes.
That's the toughest.
I give her a lot of respect.
That was, for me, my most awkward years in all of school was middle school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't, you know, you're still a kid, but you're not, and it's an odd time.
John, I spent time at each of those levels.
Uh-huh.
I was in the elementary, I was in the middle school, I was in the high school, and the most challenging group of kids is that middle school kids. You're right. The elementary kids are going to listen to what you want them to do. You get to the high school level kids, they're pretty independent.
Mm-hmm.
It's that transition that you see in the middle schools, and I applaud any teacher and counselor in this case that takes the time.
You know, one time in this country, we did K through 8 or 7 or 8, whatever, in one school, and then 9 through 12 in the high school, and we didn't have a middle school. I guess educators determined that having kindergartners and eighth graders in the same building was not such a good idea.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think in the smaller school district, they still have to do that in the rural areas, but I think you're right. I think they needed to split that because there is a discrepancy between those levels.
Now, you're living out in St. Charles where they're building schools. We got here in St. Louis, so all these vacant schools, and fewer kids are going to public schools now than I think ever before. I mean, the numbers that are in private parochial or homeschooling is off the charts.
Well, I Well, we're out in St. Charles. I would say the one school that's really off the charts is St. Dominic High School. They're up well over 1,000. I think it's all that development that's out that direction. But we'll kind of find out what happens here, you know, with all things new with the Archdiocese coming up over the next few months.
Keeping at least two of the schools open, at least for another year or so. Is that how that's resolved?
You're talking about St. Mary's and Rosati? They're going to try to go independent. So we'll see how that goes out.
Well, there you go. So you've spent 42 years in education. Not sure when you're going to call it a day, but looking favorable for next year?
I think so. Yeah, I'm still enjoying
What's the best team at Duchesne? The best sports team?
Football team went to the Final Four this year. They had a great year.
Wow. Yep. What division are they in?
Class 1.
Class 1.
Yep.
Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is none other than Paul Boschert. He's the athletic director at Duchesne High School in St. Charles County. He's also the brother-in-law of our own Michael Kelly, who will be with me again on... No, he won't be with me. I'm going to be out of town on Friday. We'll see you around the corner on KMOX. It's always a pleasure to spend these couple of hours with you each Monday night when there's nothing else on the radio. And that's when you find Hancock and Kelly... Well, you'll usually find Hancock. About every 50% of the time, you'll find Kelly as well. Michael Kelly is out of town. Shock. Very, very happy to be joined by Paul Boschert, Michael's brother-in-law. Paul, you've done a great job, and you got your start in radio at KCOU in Lindenwood.
Yes, I did that. Enjoyed my time there, and it got to the point after 4 years. I did a double major, education, and I did radio. Bob Ramsey, the voice of the Billikens, was my mentor, and worked with him. He was a senior when I was a freshman, and then when it got to the end, I had to make a decision, and I chose the education route, and I was going to just stay with it for a year or two, maybe, and then maybe get into broadcasting. Yeah. And here it is 42 years later, and I'm finally getting my first shot at this broadcast.
Isn't that kind of fun?
It is
neat how life goes around like that, because I got fired from the college station at Mizzou, and I wanted to be in broadcasting, and they fired me, so I figured, okay, I'll move. I'll go into politics. There you can only be fired by the voters, and then the voters fired me. But, you know, what are you going to do? We joke about Michael being out of town. And he's out of town, and he's, you know, he's a single guy. He's able to get around, and I don't begrudge him that at all. Michael is one of the finest people I know. You've known him longer than I have. But the guy's got a heart of gold.
He does. And, you know, I think your listeners probably don't get to hear from the family side. I know Michael takes a lot of ribbing, and he's great at what he does with you on the radio. You guys, I just enjoy watching you guys on Sunday mornings, listening to you guys. This is what our country needs, John. We need people like you guys. Two different views, political views, but you guys are buddies, and that's what we need.
You and Colleen have been married how long?
Be 37 years.
And you obviously dated some before that. So you've known Michael Kelly for... Most of his life.
About 40 years. I remember when he was a little boy.
What kind of kid was he?
Well, you know, Michael was very active and very energetic. And you know, the times that I was around the house, if Michael got in any kind of trouble, they used to have a thing where they'd tell Michael to go outside and do laps around the house.
Run around the house.
And he had to ring the doorbell, you know, and they would say, okay, Michael, go run and hit the doorbell 10 times. And we'd be sitting there watching TV, and then, you know, about every 30 seconds we see him run around the back. Finally, he wised up a couple months, a year after this happened. He just stood at the front door and just hit it 10 times and came back in. So that's the Michael I remember. I also I used to coach him in basketball when he played.
Oh, is that right?
Michael played basketball.
He's tall
school.
Enough.
He is. Yeah, he played for us and at St. Charles Borromeo, where we were at church there. But the one my favorite story with Michael probably is when Colleen and I got married. Friday night date night, we'd go out to dinner. And then we'd haul the laundry over to the Kelly house.
Uh-huh.
That's what we did. We took it over, and I have to admit, Colleen did all the laundry, but I was in charge of Michael. And so Michael and I would play games, and you know, they still rib me over this all the time, the family, but played Monopoly with Michael.
Yeah.
Trying to teach him the game, and you know, you get to that point where you got to start trading properties. And so I gave Michael a shot to trade. And, you know, I had one of the boardwalk, and he had Park Place, you know, and he had Baltic and I had Mediterranean Place, and Michael liked the color of Mediterranean and Baltic and said, hey, I'll give you this Park Place here for that thing. And, you know, I probably should have stopped, but that, I said, okay, we're
just going to play. Oh, you're in it to win it, buddy.
You darn
you're
right.
You're in it to win it.
So he gives me Boardwalk and Park Place, and I give him the two cheapest properties on there, and I never lived it down. But, John, as I really think about this in my life, okay, there's an analogy there that 40 years later, amongst his family, his friends, and his charity, Michael continues to give everybody Boardwalk and Park Place.
He does. He's one of the most generous people I've ever known in my life.
Absolutely.
And he's remarkable to see that. And that's interesting. So, and it all started off on the Monopoly board. All right, I need some help, Paul.
Okay.
So I am now, as of 8 months ago, a grandfather for the first
Congratulations.
Time. And you've got how many? Four of them?
I've got four of them now.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So how does this work? I can't get enough of her. I mean, I just can't wait to see her and, you know.
Yes. It's, I call it a double blessing. It's a blessing when they come and it's a blessing when they go.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome that you get these kids. And we had three of my granddaughters today, Colleen and I did. And Barb even came over and helped out today. But there's nothing better than having grandkids. And, you know, Colleen and I always joke that before we were grandparents, you know, people always come, oh, you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We think we will.
Sure.
But as soon as you get into it.
It is amazing.
You understand what they say.
Yeah. And so, you know, she's not talking yet. Well, we've got a mama. She has produced a mama, we think. And she's eating solid food. She smiles when she sees her pawpaw, which makes that melts your heart.
Oh, yes.
When they see you and they smile great big, I mean, man.
Did our kids do that?
There's nothing like it. No, my kids never. they don't smile at me today. But, I mean, it really is just remarkable. And I guess you do little special activities with them. Take them out to stuff?
Yes. We basically, they come over once a week or twice a week,
nice.
And Colleen's with them, and she'll run them over to Grandma's house, Nana's house, which is Barb, and they'll be together, and we'll do different things. I have to say that we have the youngest one is 3 months old, and she was a baby that my son-in-law and my daughter would have to stay up. For like 3 months, they had to stay up through the night.
Wow.
And they did shifts. So my son-in-law took like 11 to 2, and my daughter would take 2 to 5.
How many other kids do they have?
They just have the one.
Oh, okay. The first is usually very, very easy. That's God's way of making you have another kid.
Right. But she's something else. And so anyway, one of the gifts we gave to my daughter and her husband was tickets to the Blues game in exchange. We got to keep the baby overnight.
Yeah.
Well, then my daughter's like, Mom, Dad, you know, just going to prepare you. You're going to have to split shift it tonight, you know, with her because she will be up all night. So they go to the hockey game. My wife puts the baby down at about 8:45.
Yeah.
Baby sleeps till like 4 o'clock.
Nice.
It's awesome. Gets her up, rocks her, puts her back. She gets up at 5:37. And then we have a dilemma now. So when my daughter calls, do we tell her that she was up all night or do we say...
No, you gotta come clean.
We were clean. She slept through the night, and and Colleen's great with the kids. Explain how we did it, and they did it the next night, and the baby slept
and it worked
most of the night. So it worked. Yeah.
Well, there is still a trick or two in these old dogs out there, and our daughters were in the Delta Zeta sorority together at Lindenwood College. That's how and. I didn't put it together right away that you were Michael's brother-in-law, but Mary Catherine told me Megan is Michael's niece. So
right.
I said, wow.
She did the same thing to me. Megan came, well, Dad, you know John Hancock, right? Yeah. He goes, his daughter's my sorority sister.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a neat thing that they did at Lindenwood together.
And Megan is doing what now?
Well, she is now and I talk about this all the time, the family business, but she's a counselor. She's in the Wentzville School District. She's out there as a counselor. And this is her first year. She got her master's at Lindenwood. And she is doing well out there. You know, like I said, the other kids are doing great, too.
What level is she?
She's in middle school.
Oh, that's tough, man.
Yes.
That's the toughest.
I give her a lot of respect.
For me, my most awkward years in all of school was middle school. Mm-hmm. You know, you just don't, you know, you're still a kid, but you're not. And it's an odd time.
John, I spent time at each of those levels.
Uh-huh.
I was in the elementary, I was in the middle school, I was in the high school. And the most challenging group of kids is that middle school kids. You're right. The elementary kids are going to listen to what you want them to do. You get to the high school level kids, they're pretty independent.
Mm-hmm.
It's that transition that you see in the middle schools, and I applaud any teacher and counselor in this case that takes the time.
Time in this country, we did K through 8 or 7 or 8, whatever, in one school, and then 9 through 12 in the high school, and we didn't have a middle school. I guess educators determined that having kindergartners and eighth graders in the same building was not such a good idea.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think in the smaller school districts, they still have to do that in the rural areas, but I think you're right. I think they needed to split that because there is a discrepancy between those levels.
Now, you're living out in St. Charles where they're building schools. We got here in St. Louis, so all these vacant schools, and fewer kids are going to public schools now than I think ever before. I mean, the numbers that are in private parochial or homeschooling is off the charts.
Well, Well, we're out in St. Charles. I would say the one school that's really off the charts is St. Dominic High School. They're up well over 1,000, and I think it's all that development that's out that direction. But we'll kind of find out what happens here, you know, with all things new with the Archdiocese coming up over the next few months.
Keeping the at least two of the schools open, at least for another year or so. Is that how that's resolved?
You're talking about St. Mary's and Rosati? They're going to try to go independent. So we'll see how that goes out.
Well, there you go. So you've spent 42 years in education. Not sure when you're going to call it a day, but looking favorable for next year?
I think so. Yeah, I'm still enjoying
What's the best team at Duchenne? The best sports
team? Our football team went to the Final Four this year. They had a great year.
Wow. Yeah. What division are they in?
Class 1.
Class 1.
Yep.
Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is none other than Paul Boschert. He's the athletic director at Duchenne High School in St. Charles County. He's also the brother-in-law of our own Michael Kelly, who will be with me again on... No, he won't be with me. I'm going to be out of town on Friday. We'll see you around the corner on Cable X.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A message from a former New Yorker. Presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more.
StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.